So the theme of our reading today is all really about humility. Humility versus pride. And that greatness of service. Now, remember at the time that the Jews were very used to people ruling over them. The Romans were like that iron fist that crushed everything in order to keep control and stay above the rest. They could even ask if they were tired from carrying their backpack. They could go up to somebody in the street, make them carry their bag for a mile. That was part of the law of the time. And we're told very often within the Bible about the trouble of pride. God hates pride. And in the New Testament, we are told to walk in humility, to put on the clothes of humility. And most sins are really deep-rooted in that sin of pride. Because it's about us wanting to get some sort of self-satisfaction. It's all about what we want for ourselves and telling ourselves that we deserve this thing that is drawing us away from God. And man has been really repeating that over the generations. We have been proud. We have been egotistical. We've been self-centered, self-promoting, self-exalting. This is very deep-rooted in all of us, just as it was in the disciples back at that time. And this is why Jesus has so much trouble trying to get this message across to them. He's already told them off for arguing amongst themselves about who is the greatest. And here they are doing exactly the same thing again. And in fact, even when they're sitting round at the Last Supper, they're still trying to vie for that position of who is the greatest. I have to feel a little bit sorry for them. I mean, these are common men. Men who were fishermen. They were used to just being part of the background. And here they were, next to the person who they now recognize is the Messiah. It must have been very, very tempting to think about what that means to be the person that is his right-hand man. In verse 31, Jesus says, "Those who are last will be first, and first will be last." But they are still seeing themselves of who is superior to the other. It's so deep-seated. They're after the payback that they are due to get because of all the things they've given up, all the things they've done in order to follow this path. And even when Jesus is talking about how he is going to suffer, he is going to die, they can't take that in and they push that away. Now, I want you to imagine that it's not me standing in front of you this morning, but it's Jesus. And he is saying to you, "What do you want of me?" And we are told we can come to him and ask for anything in his name, and it will be granted. And some of the things you might have prayed for over the years might be, If I could just win the lottery, imagine all the good I could do. If I could just have a few more hours in the day, imagine if my football team could win the FA Cup. Can my child please get into university? Can my friend please not die? Can you bring about world peace? And these are wonderful things that we can turn to our Saviour and ask because they may be resting on our heart for some reason. But we should also remember to say, "Jesus, I want to know who you are. I want to know what it is to be loved by you. I want to know how I can serve you." Now, if Jesus Christ, Son of God, way up there in the pecking order on a worldly basis, could come, be humiliated and rejected and tortured and crucified and do all of that to serve us, to bring us back to God, then who am I? Jesus chose to be a servant king. And I must choose to be a servant too, if I am to follow him. A servant is the greatest, because a servant is Christ-like.